Bring one to you. We're going to be looking at a few different scriptures as we go through this morning. Something different today, as Helen's already alluded to. You'll know that we've been doing a series on Sunday mornings looking at the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we're told about in the New Testament of the Bible. And we're not going to focus on a specific gift today, but we are going to be talking about opportunities to use our gifts this morning. And we'll come back to that a little bit later on, because we're going to talk about where we're at with the opportunity that we have to plant a new church up the road in Malden Manor. So let me just read some verses from 1 Corinthians 16 as we begin. This is Paul writing from Ephesus, from one city, to the Christians in Corinth, in another city. And he's talking to them about his plans, his desire to visit them at some point. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, we read these words. I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. And then on verse 13, he says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. Now, you remember in November last year, 3 months ago now, in the church meeting here, we decided unanimously together that we felt it was God's will for us as a church to plant a new church in the area of Malden Manor. That we believe this is the right thing to be doing, this is the right time to be doing it. That I would take the lead on kind of working forward towards that, but that we would all be involved in thinking and praying, particularly about our personal role within that. And as we discern that together, I think I felt something of what Paul felt and what he records for us in this passage here. A great door for effective work has opened to us. We believe this is the right thing to do. It's an amazing opportunity. But what happens now? We've got this great door. This is an old door. But there's something about this idea of planting in Malden Manor which isn't new to us, is it? This great door of opportunity that's open to us. And I want to talk about this morning about three possible responses we have to this opportunity that lies before us. And the first response, is this going to work? Try once more. No. Hugh, could you click it on, Hugh, please? Is that we could just sleep through it. Not give it a moment's thought. We could just ignore it. We could pretend it's not there. Maybe if we do that long enough, it'll go away. And I think just generally in church, there's a real danger of that. It is possible for us to be so comfortable in church, so comfortable in our Christian life, that it's like being asleep, really. We're in a place where our faith does never really demands anything of us. Rarely, if ever, do we actually have to take a step of faith and actually trust God for something. That our Christian faith is lovely, and it kind of gives us a warm feeling. It's a bit like having a comfort blanket that we pull out when we need to, but beyond that, it really makes very little demand on us. So when a great door for effective work opens up to us, one response is that we do nothing. We don't think about it. We don't talk about it. We don't find out any more about it. We don't pray about it. We do nothing. We stay comfortable. We stay asleep. Now, it's something that Paul warns the Ephesian Christians about. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read these words that are on the screen. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. If this church plant is going to happen, we need everybody to be involved. We need everybody to be ready to use the gifts that we've been learning about over recent weeks. That's the only way that this is going to be possible, or for it to be possible, for it to be everything that it can be. But if we're pretty much asleep, then nothing will happen. We need to wake up.
Great. I just want to share a few things about waking up that God's been speaking to me about. First one was a couple of years ago now, I heard a fantastic speaker called Danielle Strickland, and she shared something about a dream that she had had. And I can't go into the whole dream because it would take too long, but the essence of it was that God was speaking to her about the church in the West often being very sleepy and ineffective. And she said to the Lord, I don't want to be like that, Lord. I don't want to be sleepy and ineffective. What do I need to do? And the Lord took her back to a time when she was working nights and she was driving home from a long night, you know, in the morning, and she was really, really sleepy. And it was in Canada, so very dark and cold and all the rest of it, driving along a long, long road. And she turned the music up really, really loud, you know, blasting herself with loud music to try and keep herself awake. And then she started, you know, do you ever do that when you're trying to keep awake when you're sleeping? Give yourself a bit of a slap, you know, come on, keep awake. And then she opened the window, blasted herself with cold air to try and keep awake. Does this ring any bells? Yeah? Maybe suck a really strong mint. Woo, that's a strong one. You know, wake yourself up. And the Lord said to her, that's what you need to do. She was like, okay, right. And it was about, sometimes it's good to actually make yourself uncomfortable because it wakes you up. You wake up spiritually when you kind of put yourself in a place that's a little bit uncomfortable. So maybe, you know, being with people whose lives are really, really broken can be really uncomfortable, can't it? And it wakes you up when you're walking alongside people whose lives are broken. Suddenly, you're having to cry out to God for them. You're trusting God for them. You're awake. You're more awake. Maybe fasting. Fasting is a good way of waking yourself up. Have you ever noticed that? When you go without food and you've got pain in your stomach because, you know, you're hungry, it wakes you up, doesn't it? Every time you've got those hunger pains, you think, oh, I need to pray, I need to pray, that's why I'm fasting. Or when you go to bed at night and you're hungry, it wakes you up to how half the world goes to bed at night. It wakes you up. Or maybe it's giving a little bit more than is comfortable, not just giving out of our excess, but giving sacrificially. Suddenly, ping, I'm awake. I'm having to trust God because I'm having to go without things. So that was what she felt God was saying to her, and that really spoke to me. And often God reminds me of that in my life. When something's a bit uncomfortable, he'll like say, Sarah, I'm waking you up. This is good because you trust me more when you're in a position where it's a bit uncomfortable. And the other thing that God's been speaking to me about, waking up. I was thinking about this and when Andy said about being asleep and about the disciples and thinking about the times when the disciples were sleeping. And one of them was when they went up on the mountain, the transfiguration, you know, they climbed up and it doesn't tell you in Matthew, but in Luke it says, they got to the top and then the disciples were a bit sleepy. What did they miss? Like when they're sleeping, like Jesus appears in all his glory and they're like all sleepy because they've had a long walk and oh, it was hard work. You know, and they're sleeping. And they did wake up and then they sort of, Peter mumbles something silly, doesn't he? And they do catch a glimpse of Jesus's glory. But I was thinking, what did they miss when they were sleeping? And then I was thinking about in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did Jesus say to them? He came back and he said, could you not just stay awake? And like he'd been agonizing. And what did they miss in the Garden of Gethsemane when they were sleeping? Kind of that chance of like real intimacy and closeness to Jesus. So I want to encourage us that this opportunity with Malden Manor is a chance for each one of us to wake up. Yeah? It might be waking up here and stepping up to something new that is uncomfortable and is going to stretch you. And I've not done that before. And I'm, But actually, hey, you're going to wake up because you're going to have to trust God more. And that is a good thing. We think that comfort is the best thing. But actually, stepping out of our comfort sometimes is good. And God stretches us and encourages us. And maybe, that's where I'm going to stop. Right. Sorry.
More from Sarah in a little while. So the first response, this great door for effective work is open to us. One possible response is that we just sleep through it. That we do nothing. That maybe it'll go away if we do that long enough. And you know, if we do that long enough, it will go away. This won't happen. The mission outreach, the Malden Manor, will never take off. And we'll never step out, and we'll never grow, and we'll never learn what trusting God is really like. And we'll never know the blessings that come with that. It's possible to stay asleep. Second possible response, which will come up on the screen, is probably the polar opposite to staying asleep, and that's kind of approaching the door and just smashing straight into it and making a complete mess of it. Thinking about the Malden Manor community, the people who live there, looking at them kind of from the outside where we are here and seeing the diversity of needs over there and thinking, I know exactly what you need. I know the best way to do it. I know what we're going to do, and I'm going to come over there and I'm going to do it to you. Go charging in like a bull in a china shop and make a total mess of it. Do you remember the words we read a moment ago? It'll come up on the screen that Paul said, be careful. Careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Helen mentioned a few moments ago that we've been on this church planting course, and it has been so good. It has been so helpful. And teaching us so many things that have been learned by people who've been planting churches for many years in many different kind of situations and contexts. And so much of it is about helping us to avoid this danger of just crashing through the door and making a total mess of it, but actually making the most of this opportunity. And so we are having a phase that we're in right now of preparing. Of taking time to pray and to think and to plan and to prepare as best we can. And one of the things that they've insisted on this course is that we must get clear about the vision that we believe God is giving us, that what God is calling us to do, in our case, in Malden Manor. And as we've done that, one phrase has kept coming back to us again and again, and it's a very simple one, and it's not new, and it's this good news. That we believe that God is calling us to bring good news and to be good news in Malden Manor. And so we want the new church in Malden Manor to be excited about kind of what's summed up in this next phrase, which is going to come up on the screen, about knowing, showing, and growing God's good news in Malden Manor. That's what we're going to be about. Knowing God and knowing God's good news as we explore and as we learn together on Sundays, as we gather as church over there in small groups as we get together, but also knowing this God ourselves. Just growing our relationship with Him as we experience Him together in worship and in prayer, knowing, but also showing. Showing the good news to the people of Malden Manor in ways that they can hear as we speak to them, but also in ways that they can see and they can taste and they can touch and they can feel, they can experience. Because we want to meet together as church over there, but also we want to get involved in the community over there, in the lives of the people who live there. So not coming in from the outside presuming that we know what we need to do and what will be helpful to them, that we're some kind of experts and we're going to fix them by coming in, but taking time to get to know people, to listen to them, to hear from them. What would good news look like to them? What would good news look like to you if you're a single parent in Malden Manor? What would good news look like if you're a lonely older person in Malden Manor? What would good news look like to you if you're a young person who just can't get any work in Malden Manor? What would good news look like if you're a totally stressed out business person who lives in Malden Manor? What would good news look like to you if you can't speak English and you live in Malden Manor? And actually hearing from people what good news might look like. So knowing, showing, and also growing God's good news in Malden Manor. We are already praying that people are going to come to faith in Malden Manor, that God's church will grow because more people will come into God's kingdom. But also through everything that we do, we will all be growing in faith and in love, in the gifts that God has for us, in the fruit of the Spirit, in our maturity in Jesus Christ. Knowing, showing, and growing God's good news in Malden Manor. And so our vision, the thing that we are excited about, is that in a few years' time, there will be a thriving church in Malden Manor, which has been started by a team of people from here, but will be full of local people from Malden Manor who have heard the good news of Jesus and who have come to faith in him. But even more than that, that the whole community of people who live there, when they think about this church, will see what we have done, they will hear about what we've done from other people who live there, and they will think, you know what, they've been good news for this community. Because in little ways, the kingdom of God has come in Malden Manor. So that's our vision. And on top of that, the course has made us think about lots and lots of other things as well. It's made us think about the values that will underpin us as a group of Christians, as church in that area. It's made us think about all the different stakeholders who can have an influence on the way this thing develops. It's made us think about the opportunities, the resources that we have that will help it work. It's made us think about the risks and things that might get in the way of things happening, as we hope they might do. It's made us think about how we're going to finance this. And it's warned us again and again and again not to try and do too much too soon, of just how important it will be to build strong foundations. And so we're thinking at the start that we're going to focus on these three things: on prayer, on public gathering, and presence. So prayer, we're praying already, and that is going to be foundational to everything that we do in Malden Manor. Praying for the community, the people who live there, praying for ourselves, praying for one another, praying for revival to God pour out his Spirit on the community of Malden Manor. Prayer. Secondly, public gathering. We're going to meet together as church over there in Richard Challoner School. And initially that will be in just learning how to do that in a new place with new equipment. And starting by learning, by preaching through our vision and our values so that together we're excited and convinced about what God is calling us to do and to be in that place. So public gathering on a Sunday as we worship, as we pray, as we learn, and making that as good as we can possibly make it so that we can invite people into it. And then thirdly, presence, being present in the community over there. Spending time to meet the people who live there, getting to know them, listening to them, inviting them to things. People on the streets, people in their homes knocking on their doors saying, look, we are here and we are here for you. What would good news look like to you? What would be good news for you? How can we pray for you? How can we bless you? Building relationships. Getting to the point where we can have these good news conversations with people. So it's a bit about our presence there, but it's also, we are the people of God. And that wherever we go and whatever we do, Jesus himself has promised to be with us as we seek to go and make disciples. So it's us carrying the presence of God into that community as well. And so initially our timeline will look something like, it'll come up on the next screen. I don't know if you can read that very clearly. But the line down about a third of the way across is September time, when we're planning to launch our church plant over there. So we're already praying, we're already doing some research, trying to understand the community over there, and those two will continue. But in September, we'll begin our public gathering, meeting together as church, and we'll also begin to have a much more intentional presence in the community over there, with a view to working towards Christmas time, when we'll do something very, very public, a real outreach, I don't know how many events, but a real outreach, evangelistic, really making our presence known to the community over there. And then gradually building on top of that. So hopefully we'll have got to know some people by then through what we do at Christmas. There may be some who are at other places where we can invite them to do an Alpha course. So we'll add that on top of praying and gathering and being there. And as we get to understand the community and hear what people are saying to us, and through praying and discerning what God would have us do, adding on top of that, actually getting involved in meeting some of the needs in the community over there. But not just going barging in and presuming that we know what are the right things to do and how to do them, but taking our time to be wise, to make the most of this opportunity. So it's not going to be a quick hit and run evangelism type thing at all. We are planning for the long term. We're planning to build strong foundations. We're planning to form real relationships with the real people who live there, bringing the good news of Jesus and being good news to the people who live there. We want to avoid at all costs just charging in like headless chickens. We want to be wise and make the most of this, because a great door for effective work has opened to us. We could sleep through it. We could make a mess of it. Well, thirdly, and this is what we've been encouraging people all along to do, we can approach it prayerfully. We can take some time to seek the Lord on this. What is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to be and to go? And the truth is, we need people with all kinds of different gifts here in New Malden, and we need people with all kinds of different gifts in Malden Manor. And we want everybody to be involved in this if it's going to be everything that it can be. In Malden Manor in particular, we need people with all kinds of different gifts who are ready to do these kinds of things, who are ready to belong, to make Malden Manor their church, to commit to that. People who are ready to pray, because everything that we do has got to be built on prayer, as individuals and as a church together. People who are ready to serve. It's going to be hard work. It's going to take effort. There's going to be so much to do. So people who are ready to use whatever time or whatever energy, whatever resources they have to make our Sunday gatherings the best that they can be, but also to get to know people, to build relationships, to reach out into this community, to get involved in serving people. People who can give and support the work financially, and people who are up for discipling. We want to be disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. To be ready to encourage at least one other person in their walk of faith. And New Malden needs the same. Because all of us have this call on our lives. The great commission that Jesus gave us, that we've thought about before, to go and make disciples of all nations, which includes New Malden and includes Malden Manor. And so right now, we need all of you to be doing something, if you're not doing it already. And that is just seeking the Lord for where he wants you to be. And I think there are three options that you, or answers to that prayer. One is that you know and you hear from the Lord that God wants you here in New Malden. And that's fantastic. If you hear from the Lord that's where he wants you to be, then that's great. The second option is that God wants you to be in Malden Manor. And that's fantastic. And that's great. And the third option is that you pray about it and you know what? You just don't get any sense of which it should be. And it's fine to come to us and say, look, I've prayed about this and I'm just not sure, but I'm open to actually you telling me where you think my gifts, my talents would fit best. It was 3 months ago that we had that meeting, that church meeting where we voted to move forward with this. And the time is coming now when we need everyone to let us know what you're thinking and what God's saying to you about this. And so we want to encourage everybody to be engaged with this and to let us know by Easter at the latest, please, what you think God's saying. So another month. So far, we've got 8 adults who put their hands up and say, we believe God is calling us to join you in going over to Malden Manor, which is fantastic. And you know who you are, and you're an amazing answer to our prayers already. But the number that we've had in mind that we've shared with you before is 30 people. 30 adults to go. So we still have some way to go. We need more people if this is going to happen. And we need to know as soon as possible by Easter at the latest, because we want to be able to work with the group of people who are going to get as prepared as we can be for when we start. And also we need to know for here to plan for the consequences of that group of people going. Because a number of those people will be involved in things here and won't be here to do them anymore. And so we need to know who they are and identify the things they're involved with so that we can begin to think about and plan for the time when they won't be here and how those gaps can be filled. So if you want to know more, please come and ask, come and talk to us. We'd love to come and meet with you or talk to you on a Sunday or whenever it might be. But we need you to talk to us about this, please, now, so that we can really move forward towards making this happen. One more thing that I want to talk about. It's actually two more things, but they're kind of connected, you'll see, in a moment. And this is really important, and it's something that we've seen before. It's something that came out very clearly when we were looking at the book of Acts last year. And that's that the mission like this is what this is a mission of God to a new community. Mission like this involves a whole load of different things. But two things that I just want to mention this morning is we're at this point of decision. And the first thing is up on the screen there, it's cost. And we know, and this is getting very real for us now, isn't it, that making this choice to plant a church in Malden Manor means cost, it means change. Especially for the group of people who go and leave this place to go and start something new in Malden Manor. Because relationships will be different. You won't see all these people on a Sunday morning. Church will be different. It'll be smaller. It'll be unfamiliar. Small groups will be different as we look to form new ones. The children and family stuff will be different. So some of the families are going to stay here, and we hope some families are going to come there. And so your friends will be here. Some of your children's friends will be here, and there's cost to that. And it will cost in time and energy in getting involved in doing things which are perhaps outside our comfort zone. And of course, there will be loss here for the people who stay too. But you know, there is a cost to following Jesus. And if you've never heard that before, then I'm sorry, because you should have done. And that's a failing on my part as one of the teachers in this place. Listen to these words of Jesus. I'm sure you've heard them before. Jesus himself said, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And for us now in New Malden, as we face this decision, this is getting real all of a sudden, isn't it? For some of us, this is going to mean denying ourselves and following Jesus, and that's costly. And if right now your Christian faith is not feeling very costly, let me put this to you. Perhaps that means that you're not following very closely. Because mission always involves cost. And we need to face that. And I believe God is calling us to step up to that now. But that's not the only thing that mission involves. That's not the whole story. There is another side to this coin, because following Jesus, yes, it does mean cost, but it also means blessing. Listen again to some more words of Jesus, and this is amazing. Jesus speaking says this, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the good news will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus promises blessing as well as cost. Do you believe that? I believe we can believe that. We can trust this. Jesus means what he says. This is recorded for us in the Bible for a reason, because it's true and he wants us to know it. And he keeps his promises. There is cost, but there is also great blessing.
I just wanted to share a little bit about cost and blessing and some testimony from us as a family. So when Andy was called into full-time ministry 6 years ago, is it now? One of the costs for us as a family was financial. So Andy's salary overnight took a big dip, and we had to cut back massively. But at the end of the day, the outgoings were more than what was coming in. And that was a difficult tension for us to live in, but we felt we were called to do it. And so we had a choice. Do we follow? Are we obedient or not? And it felt okay for me and Andy doing that for ourselves, deciding that we could go without things, but it felt really difficult to make that decision for our children, and felt like we were denying them opportunities that we would like them to have, and that felt a big cost to us. And over the years of Andy's training, we kind of went like that. In some days we were full of faith for it, and other days we felt really fearful and anxious about it. But I want to testify to God's helping us through that time. And there was a time when we'd been for a cycle ride in Kingston with the boys along the river, come back again. Andy and the boys were hanging around at the marketplace, you know, with the fountains. It was a lovely sunny day, and I needed to just do a couple of jobs in Kingston. And the kids said, "Can we have an ice cream?" And I was like, we just didn't have any money for anything like that. And so the answer was always no. I've got water in the bag, but we can't have an ice cream. Have some water, that's fine. And I went off and did the job, came back, and the boys had an ice cream. And I said, "Oh, okay, where's the ice cream come from?" "Oh, we saw so-and-so from church and they bought us an ice cream." And in that moment, it was the smallest little thing, but God spoke to me and he said, "Sarah, if I want your kids to have ice cream, they'll have ice cream. Stop fretting and worrying about them all the time. I am a good father and I will take care of them." And I can't say that every moment since then I've been, you know, full of faith all the time, but my faith has grown and I've learned to trust my children to the Lord and that he will take care of them. And also my own faith in God has grown through that. You know, I never used to pray over before I went shopping, because I could afford whatever I wanted. And in that time, I used to pray before I went to the shops. You know, "Lord, I've got this much on my shopping list this week, and I don't think our budget is going to stretch to it." And then I'd be thanking God when cherry tomatoes were on special offer. Like, my relationship with God grew in my trust, and I think it was a lesson that we needed to learn. And when I was speaking with the kids yesterday, I said, "Oh, I'm just going to share a little bit about cost and blessing." I said, "What are the blessings, do you think, as a family that we've experienced?" One of them was at the end of three years, the church, you very kindly said to Andy, "Have the month off. Do you remember, have August off before you start again in September?" Which was brilliant. It was lovely. So we had 4 weeks, but we didn't have any money to go on holiday. And we were like, "Okay, what are we going to do?" And then out of the blue, you know, somebody from way back in Andy's family history contacts us and says, "Oh, we were hoping we could come to London in the summer, and we live in Vienna, and would you like to do a house swap?" You know, and God blessed us with this amazing holiday when we couldn't afford it, and we'd never been able to take our kids abroad. Other things that God blessed us with. Emily was saying, you know, one of the things God blessed us with, Mum, is that we've all really grown. And I thought, yeah, we have. We've all really grown in our faith. And then another thing Matthew said, I thought, "Oh, gosh, Dad being a pastor is like a real, like, can you imagine your kids having to tell their friends, 'Oh, my dad's a pastor.' It's a bit weird, but, you know." And I always thought, "Oh, that's going to be such a, you know, difficult thing for the kids to bear." And Matthew said, "Oh, the best thing for me about Dad being in ministry is that I've had so many more opportunities to share about my faith." I'm like, and then the other thing, we thought that we were restricting their options in, you know, taking this path, and we felt very guilty about that. And the other thing that they said to us yesterday was, Mom, Dad, we've had so many opportunities with Dad being in ministry. And I thought, God, you are so good. I think that we're restricting their opportunities, but actually you give them different opportunities. And they're the opportunities that they needed. And so we just wanted to testify this morning to the cost of following Jesus. Yes, it can be difficult at times, but actually God is so good and he is so faithful and he has blessed us and we have grown. And we wanted to encourage you with that. And thank you for your support and your prayers in it all for us. But yeah, so that was our testimony.
So there is cost, but there is blessing. Jesus promises both. In this world you will face difficulty, Jesus says, but I have overcome the world. God is no man's debtor. You can't outgive God. If you don't believe me, try. See what happens. But a great door for effective work has opened to us. It has. We're convinced that God is calling us to do this. He's calling us to do this now. And we are excited about going on this journey of knowing and showing and growing God's good news in Malden Manor. I don't know where you sit in your response to this right now. What's your response? Do you need to wake up? Do you need to seek the Lord? Do you need to know the answer to this question? Where does God want me? A great door has opened. What are we going to do? Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to just spend a few moments of quiet. If the band could come back up, if you just want to come sit here, guys, and join in the quietness for a few moments, then we'll sing in a little while. But I just want to encourage everyone to just spend some time in prayer with God right now. And wherever you are on kind of what we've been talking about this evening, then bring that to him. Be honest before him. If you're struggling with being open to it, because of what it all might involve, then bring that to him now. If you're just wanting to hear from him about what he has to say to you about your place in this, then say that to him now. If the whole thing of cost is just bigger than anything else, then bring that to him now. We're going to spend a few minutes just in quiet, just with the Lord. Let's do some business with him now.